from the stories of gods of old to nowadays, people talking about the simulation theory. Is it possible that reality as we know it is actually a highly advanced computer simulation that we're trapped in? People have often wondered why their lives are the way they are. Why some people seem to have it easy and some people have always struggled. But what happens when whoever is running the game decides to crank up the difficulty in yours and your life alone? And then we meet two teenage boys who like to hang out and talk about the paranormal. Be it UFOs, cryptids, or ghosts, it's one of their favorite subjects. But when they begin experimenting with lucid dreaming, neither of them have any idea they're about to see a horrific future unfold right before their eyes. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. Hope you guys are having tons of fun out there in the world doing whatever you're doing. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. So first off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for Jessica Anderson. Woohoo! Yeah! Wee! Ha! Yeah! Doing backflips, showing off in Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Jessica Anderson is doing the thing that I've requested everyone to do nearly every episode. She is helping getting the word out. She is helping get the word out about Dead Rabbit Radio. She is telling her friends. She is telling her family about the show, and I always say that that is equally as important as joining the Patreon or supporting the show financially. So that, Jessica, is why you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode, because you get the word out about the show. Really, really helps the show grow. And I want to salute those of you who not only donate money or can't donate money, because I understand times are tight, just get the word out. That helps out so much. It really, really does. So thank you, Jessica. You're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. Jessica, let's go ahead and get this party started. I'm going to go ahead and toss you the hair hang glider. Everyone grab onto her ankles as she jumps off the highest point of Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Jessica, glide us all the way out to a parking lot. Nice leisurely glide. Hasn't the weather been fantastic recently? At least it is when I'm recording this episode at the beginning of April. You could be listening to it 4 years from now in a nuclear winter hellscape. But right now, the weather's been great. It's such a nice day for a hang glide ride all the way out to this parking lot. We're about to meet this man. We don't have his real name. Let's call him Barry. Barry is sitting in the parking lot, and all he wants to do is leave. He just walked out of Best Buy, got himself a couple new DVDs. Do people still buy DVDs? I don't even know if they even sell them at Best Buy anymore. He just got done doing a little shopping. He walks out to his car, and the whole time as he's walking out to his car, he knows what's going to happen. Because it happens every single time. He gets in his car, turns it on. He goes to back up. And right when he starts moving, doesn't even make it a few inches, all of a sudden a car comes up and stops right behind him. Now, car's not trying to take a spot or anything. The car's just stopped for whatever reason. Maybe there's a little traffic jam in the parking lot. Maybe somebody is walking in front of them and the car's stopping so they don't commit vehicular homicide. Whatever the reason is, doesn't matter to Barry. Barry's frustrated. But eventually the car does drive on by. Barry's like, finally. And he is trying to pull out of the parking space and another car pulls up behind him. Sits there and idles for a few moments. And then drives away in the parking lot, and Barry starts to back up a little bit more. Now a truck pulls up behind him. Barry's losing his patience every single time. He's in. You're like, Jason, wow, man, I know yesterday's episode you labeled possibly paranormal. You're really reaching for it. No, you gotta let me finish. Every single time he tries pulling out, a car is always pulling. It's actually kind of funny because it's not happening to me. Every time I'm sitting in the parking lot laughing, I'm eating a bowl of popcorn. Every time Barry tries to pull out of the parking spot, a car drives in behind him and stops for a few moments, then continues on its way. And eventually enough time does pass, enough inches are moved, Barry is able to pull out of the parking lot and leave. But he knew this was going to happen. It happens every single time he goes to a parking lot. At a certain point, you probably just start taking the bus, right? You just be like, mass transit's all the way for me. And you go, well, okay, it's not necessarily paranormal. It's inconvenient and kind of funny. Not necessarily paranormal. And normally, I would agree. This is... I'm not done. That's not the whole story, trust me. That's just the prologue. Normally, I would agree it's not really paranormal. Because, listen, sometimes we've met them. You may be one of these people where you just feel like nothing in your life has ever gone right. Like, pretty much every day, something goes wrong. Or you fear something is going to go wrong. That would be more of a pessimist. If things are constantly going wrong, you got the Al Bundy syndrome. Things are just never going to work out for you. And that's how it's been your entire life. That's one thing, but that's not what we're looking at with the story of Barry. And that's what kind of makes this so interesting. Barry's not saying every single time since I was a kid, when I was in my mom's car, we couldn't back up. Or once I got my driver's license, I thought I'd have a lot of freedom. It turns out I spent at least an hour or two trying to get out of a parking spot. That's not what he's saying. So what makes this story so interesting? He says that he can date, he can put a time before and after. His life used to be normal. He had his ups, he had his downs. But ever since September 2023, life has gotten exceedingly difficult for Barry. He compares it. This is kind of an odd comparison, but I kind of know what he's talking about. He basically said, you remember that old Nintendo game, Ninja Gaiden? Which is one of the hardest games on the Nintendo, on the NES. He goes, that's what my life feels like now. Take away the ninjas, take away the excitement, take away the three lives. I feel like the difficulty setting for my life has ramped up since September 2023. Everything before that was pretty normal. But since September 2023, if we live in a simulation, it's like somebody paused the game and adjusted the difficulty from normal to hard. He says nothing seems to flow anymore. There's blockages everywhere. Where life used to be like a river, which would eventually hit an obstacle, it would simply move around it, and I would follow that natural course back into the rhythm of nature. He says, no, I cannot pull out of a parking spot without someone backing up behind me. He goes, people are way more aggressive than they used to be. And this is one of the things, like the difficulty setting ramped up. Some people have a really easy time talking to people. Most people are good at it, and some people suck at it. He's going, I used to be normal at it. I used to be able to converse with people. Now I find people are so much more aggressive than they used to be. So much more aggressive, not just strangers, not just people that like walk down the street and I'm like, hey, buddy, how's it going? And they go, up yours. He goes, friends. Friends as well. He said in 2012, I had about 20 plus friends, close friends. Whether we're just hanging out, talking for a moment, making plans, whatever it was, I had 20 plus friends. He goes, now, post September 2023, I have none. He goes, I want to reach out to somebody. They just ignore me. And this was not an issue pre-September 2023. He goes, strangers and friends alike, something's changed. He also said, this is super interesting to me. Because part of this you could argue is perceptual. Part of this you could argue that maybe he's changed. And he's just become, like, more aggressive himself, so nobody wants to hang out with him. But let's kind of take his worldview at point. But this next part, I go, I don't really see that. It could be where we live, it could just be your perception. He goes, also, why does everyone have money all of a sudden? Everyone has tons of money to spend. He goes, not only on Facebook, on social media, I see people going out to these nice restaurants and all that stuff. Are they just going deeper and deeper into debt? How do they have so much money? That is people putting their best foot forward on Facebook. No one ever videotapes themselves screaming at the kids because they didn't do their homework and the teacher called them for the third time this month. You know, you see them out at the nice restaurant. You see them all wearing matching sweaters at Christmas. But he also said, when I go out in public, every place is packed. There's people everywhere. They're all shopping. I go to a restaurant. It's so busy. Everyone's seating. Everyone's eating. I have to wait for a table. He goes, I don't understand why all of a sudden everybody has so much money. He can look at a pre-September 2023 and a post-September 2023. And that's the key, that it has happened recently. That's what's driving them nuts. If you had always noticed, you couldn't pull out of a parking spot, businesses were always full, you'd be like, well, this is just the way life is. But he goes, it wasn't that way. Just not even a year ago, it's changed. He says he feels, I'm not a huge fan of people who use pop culture references in to describe really anything. But he does say, he goes, it feels like he's living in a mixture of Groundhog Day, The Truman Show, which, okay, those two, and They Live. If you guys don't know, wow, I don't know that last movie. It's great. I love that movie. I think it's partially responsible for my love of conspiracy theory because I saw it at such a young age when it first came out. It's a story of aliens controlling the planet, but they're in disguise. They're disguised like humans. And only a select few can tell. You have to wear this special pair of glasses. You can see who's human and who's alien. Really, really, I mean, it's far ahead of its time. Most of John Carpenter's stuff is really ahead of its time. Because nowadays, there's whole, quote-unquote, nonfiction books written about that. David Icke, huge proponent of the They Live scenario. He goes, I feel like I'm living in a mixture of Groundhog Day, The Truman Show, and They Live with a little bit of The Matrix thrown in there as well. What's interesting about that is Groundhog Day is, I guess, like, if you wanted to say who was pulling the strings, God or fate was trying to get Bill Murray's character to find his true self by putting him in that warp. Truman Show definitely has a director of the show, but he's not a antagonist. He's an antagonistic in the literature sense of the word, but he's not evil. They Live in The Matrix both require evil overlords for those stories to function. So I thought that was an interesting connection of the four. Two have a ruler who's benevolent or at least neutral to the plight of their heroes. And the other two are about robots trying to use humans as batteries or aliens trying to enslave humanity. He goes, that's what it feels like. That's where it feels like I'm at. He posted this online on the Retconned subreddit, which is basically, it's a very minutia-oriented version of the Mandela effect. But the Mandela effect will be like, look at your underwear. Fruit of the Loom logo. Look at this scene from Star Wars. Darth Vader saying something different. Retconned is personalized Mandela effects. We talked about this before on the show. It's very interesting. People will be like, because the Mandela effect, you can go, no, it's pretty sure it's the Berenstain Bears. It's not the Berenstain Bears. And you can have a conversation with that. Retconned is, one day I came home and my uncle was wearing a red shirt. He hates the color red. And I asked him, hey, I thought you hated the color red. And he got really mad at me and told me he loved the color red. It was his favorite color ever. And people going, that is some sort of paranormal thing. That is some sort of dimensional reset. It's quite odd. It's very, very odd. Subreddit. It was posted by someone going by the name The Game 81677, and he posted this under the title, Everything Has Gotten Super Difficult Since Last September. Well, what happens is people piggybacked on this, and they go, you're right. So now it's even more interesting. It's multiple people saying they have seen a difficulty setting change in their life recently. They can say, my life used to be quote-unquote normal, and now everything seems more difficult, even though they're minor things. One guy said, every time I wash the dishes, Every time I go to wash the dishes now, I'm washing them and my face starts to itch. And then I go to itch my face and I get dishwater all over my face. I mean, that's not gonna change. That's like a minor inconvenience. But again, it's not something they experienced before. They also said, why is it whenever I take a Kleenex, two or three of them come out instead of just one? Why is it whenever I take a shower, the towel gets wet? That's kind of obvious. I think he probably means like the spray of the shower spray. And he's like, why is it when I'm dripping wet, I put a towel on me, now the towel's wet and I'm dry? What's going on? That didn't happen before September. He says, every time I brush my teeth, I get toothpaste all over me. So here's the thing. Those are all super minor inconveniences. And I would argue, too, trying to pull out of a parking space, someone parking behind you, or just stopping behind you momentarily, they're minor inconveniences. They're all minor inconveniences, but what happens when they're all starting to add up? And more people were saying on this subreddit, under this post, they're like, you're right, things have gotten more difficult since last September. You could argue, because I think the Mandela effect, I think some of it's real and some of it's false memories. You could say, well, Jason, he's posting it on a board of people who are already questioning reality and their memories. So other people could be reading it and going, you're right, it has been since September that my life's been mildly inconvenient, when it's just creating a false memory loop. What's interesting too, and so we have this. We have this thing that has life gotten harder for some people since September. My life has been a series of ups and downs. I think that's fair to say for most people. Some people have been blessed and have never had a bad day in their life. I don't really think, maybe 10 people on the planet Earth since it formed out of the molten core, they could probably say that their entire life they never suffered any obstacle, either real or imagined. I think even the most, I'm sure Olivia Rodrigo wakes up every so often and she's like, my life sucks. Like, I have a really bad stomachache and I got bit by a centipede last night. Am I allergic to centipedes? My skin's getting puffy. And then, you know, she goes to the doctor and a couple days later she's feeling fine. Even a pop superstar is going to have bad days every now and then. But to be able to identify that my life used to be normal and now it's exceedingly hard. It's as if someone adjusted the difficulty setting. Why? That's the next big question. First one is it happening? And the second one is, why is it happening? It was interesting to read some of these theories that were being tossed out there. One of them is that the timelines are collapsing. Now we're getting to really big macro level paranormal conspiracy level events. The timelines are collapsing. Basically, that the elites, the powers that be, the Illuminati, whatever name you want to call them by, have been experimenting with time travel or interdimensional jumping, and they're taking everyone else along with them on purpose or on accident. If the CERN collider, they're like, oh, we're just going to study these atoms, and each time they fire it up, everyone's shifted into another reality. You know, whether they're doing it on purpose or accident, the timelines are starting to converge or collapse. We're finding ourselves moving into, if you have an infinite multiverse and you keep messing with stuff, what happens when it's able to collapse so it's not so infinite? You actually can name a number now, even though it's like a Googleplex of realities, and then you keep collapsing them until eventually there's like 10. You're getting people sucked from different realities into it. I mean, imagine if all the people complaining about this were in a separate reality where they had a normal difficulty setting and now they're in ours and life's a bit harder for them. Also, if you look at simulation theory, that would be the whole idea that it's more like, I don't subscribe to simulation theory, but the theory is that it's more likely some advanced species or a human far in the future. Like, we have access to Minecraft on millions of computers. The Minecraft, the video games are only going to get more and more advanced. And so if there ever came out a video game, let's say it's called Sim Earth. They have a game like that, but this is another one. This is us. If you had an advanced civilization and they were running simulations on 1 million computers, and there were these super advanced programs that could perfectly simulate this time in Earth, the chance of us being a real living biological planet versus being one of those million simulations, the odds are that we're not. biological, that were actually part of simulation. If that story runs true, if that theory is true, you would have things in these type of simulators where they would be able to, I would assume, be able to adjust difficulty. Make things easier, make things harder. Because, I mean, you can go on Sim Earth and you can have tornadoes destroy your city, or you can just have a perfect city being built with no obstacles. We can extrapolate that out. So, yeah, would it be possible, is it possible that something is purposely ramping up the difficulty settings on different users' accounts or games or something like that? That is kind of part of it. The other idea is that it's humans in this world that are destroying the timelines, making everything converge. You know, here's the thing, too. I've never talked about this on the show, but it's been in the back of my head for a while now. I have a conspiracy theory. Let's put on our conspiracy caps before we move on to the next story. I don't really have anything to back this up other than a hunch. I have a conspiracy theory that Ukraine either has access to a time machine or in the future will have access to a time machine. Whether or not it's developed over there, whether or not it's part of an alien vessel that falls out of the sky. I mean, think with a time machine, if they gain access to it 50, 100, 200 years from now, it doesn't matter because now time's completely malleable. They either have something, it's total conspiracy theory. Again, I have no proof to back this up, but I'll tell you why. It's very odd to me. Because, you know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. I obviously knew of the Ukraine. I knew of it as part of the Eastern Bloc. I knew of it as part of the Soviet Union. And then the Berlin Wall falls, communism collapses, Soviet Union is no more. And the Ukraine slash Ukraine, as they prefer to be called today, becomes one of a number of countries. I know it's very important agriculturally. It's like the breadbasket of Europe. I know they're situated importantly as far as like Black Sea access for imports and exports in the region. I know that it's not, you know, it's more geopolitically important than, say, Peru. But that being said, Ukraine is just a country out of what we have 100 and some odd countries in the world. It's just a country. In the past, really only in the past 8 years, Ukraine has been the center of world politics. It got one president impeached. It might get another president impeached if they connect Ukraine. Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was running business or working with Burisma, which was this like electrical firm in Ukraine. And Donald Trump says, hey, I want you to investigate Hunter Biden or I'm not going to give you weapons, or I'm not going to give you this money. They impeached Trump over that. And now people are going, yeah, what was Hunter doing over there? So he's being investigated for that. And if that goes up to his dad, then his dad gets impeached. So we have one, possibly two presidents that may be impeached over Ukraine. And we have this huge war going on, which may, hopefully not, but may start to involve other European countries. France is talking about putting troops over there. Poland recently had their full air force on alert. All of a sudden, Ukraine became the most, I don't want to say necessarily important, but Ukraine suddenly became the center of American politics. And I know not everyone's a huge fan of America. I like America, but American politics becomes world politics. Everybody knows our president's name. Who's the president of Lithuania? Who's the president of Denmark? Like, everybody knows who the presidents are of the United States. So, my theory, the reason why that's happening, not because of corruption in Ukraine and Donald Trump making a phone call and Hunter Biden going over there and being on the board of this electrical company, and Russia wanting to build its power up and take over the breadbasket of Europe. Or, as you know, Russia says, well, we're just trying to denazify Ukraine. They were trying to take over. Whatever scenario is set up, all of a sudden it becomes really one of the most important countries, even more so than I feel like Iraq was during the Iraq war. Like, yeah, we had troops over here. Yeah, it was a thing. But it was kind of a foregone conclusion of what was going to happen over there. The question was how long and how many lives were going to be lost to take this country and control it with Ukraine. I mean, we're 2 years into this thing with no end in sight. We got one guy impeached. We might have another guy impeached over it. I have a feeling that somebody got a hold of a time machine or some sort of advanced piece of technology, and that is why Ukraine, that's the real reason why Ukraine is so important right now. I really lean more towards the time machine. Because let's say Ukraine gets access to time travel technology 100 years from now, but there's no weeds. It's a war-torn cesspool. It's just a garbage dump. Future Ukraine, don't get me, because I'm saying this Ukraine's like that. And so they get this time machine and they go, we need to change things. And we need to change things by making ourselves, everyone needs to pay attention. People need to be able to find us on a map. I would argue most people, including myself, would have a hard time finding Ukraine on a map 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I've always had a theory that the United States has had access to a time machine. Because things always seem to work out in the United States' favor. Not on the small level. Like, again, we lost a lot of troops in Afghanistan. We lost a lot of troops in Iraq. Our deficit is mind-bogglingly huge. But it's not perfect. And we got internal issues as well. It's not perfect. And part of it is history is written by the victors, right? But it seems like everything just seems to work out for America and has since the late 1800s, I'd say since the Civil War. We're like, oh, World War One, yeah, breeze. World War Two, nothing. We'll skip Korea and Vietnam, but you know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, like, wow, we're this economic powerhouse and da 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 da. And whenever there is a threat placed against it, whether it's Al-Qaeda on 9/11, or, you know, you might subscribe to Inside Job, whether it's that, or even, I remember as a kid, being told, hey, Japan, they're buying up all of the land in America and all of their businesses, all of our businesses are being taken over by the Japanese. We're even going to make a movie about it called Gung Ho. And we're going to talk about Japanese taking over a country. That's why nowadays I hear a joke, Chinese, they're buying up all our land. The Chinese are buying up all our land. They have all this ranch land. I was like, I've heard all this before. Now, I'm not saying it's not true, but they're not buying up enough land to take over. And I've always thought, I wonder if America actually has access to a time machine and they're making these small adjustments to keep the timeline correct. Basically, if you saw a bad path in America, they could go and they could correct it. And you could go, well, Jason, America's made some bad decisions lately. And you could go, that's true. But what's interesting is that they could then look at the timeline and go, well, this isn't too good. But if we didn't do that, it's way worse. They're going to have a short-term stumble to prevent a long-term crumble. I wonder if Ukraine has a time machine. I have no proof of any of it, but I do think it's super interesting that two presidents have been entangled by the Ukraine. Whether or not Joe Biden gets impeached, both presidents are permanently linked to that country. And now we have this war over that country. A war that everybody thought was going to be over in a week. Mind you. Like, remember that? Remember the first week of the war? You're like, oh, I guess I'm gonna go buy a new map. 2 years. 2 years this has been going on. So anyways, very, very interesting story. That my own personal conspiracy theory. Again, I have nothing to back it up, but kind of odd. There's a lot of wars going on around the world that don't directly include two presidents, both who are up for election this year, or one's up for election, one's running against them. Interesting. So we will see, or not. Maybe they'll change the timeline, and I will have never recorded that segment. Jessica, let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the world famous Carpenter Copter. We are leaving behind this parking lot. We hope Barry is finally able to get home. Fly us all the way out to a house in the suburbs. And let me do a really quick Dead Rabbit Radio recommends. I'd like to kind of start doing these again. It's all really about finding the right movies, right? I don't want to just send you stuff that's no good. First off, I mentioned this a long time ago. There's a really cool documentary, for lack of a better word, mockumentary, called The History of Time Travel. It's a really interesting documentary. I think you guys can kind of guess what it's going to be like. It's set up like it's a Discovery Channel documentary. It's set up like it's something made for television. But it's about the history of time travel from the point of view of a society that's already invented time travel. It's really interesting. Really, really enjoy that. I recommend you guys checking it out. But the one I wanted to recommend specifically today, because I had recommended that one before, I'm a huge fan of zombie movies, but I also know that most of them are just the same old movie. There's don't know how many times I've wanted to watch a zombie movie and I put it in and it's like five guys and two women in a bunker and the zombies are loose in the bunker. Ugh, they're boring. I am done with Nazi zombies. Totally bored of that trope. I haven't seen Overlord yet because of that. I've heard that Overlord is good, but I'm just kind of done with the whole Nazis. I've seen Red Snow and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad movies, but I'm just kind of over that trope. I don't like zombie movies that take place 10 years after the zombies showed up. That's just a Western. And I'm not a huge fan of Westerns. That's just a Western with zombies in the background. So when I can come across a zombie movie that does something totally different, I'm hooked. And then if they can pay it off, if they actually make an entertaining movie out of a great idea, then bravo. And that's why today's Dead Rabbit Radio recommends is a zombie movie called It Stains the Sands. It Stains the Sand Red. I'm going to tell you the premise. I'm going to tell you nothing else. Because when I tell you this premise, you're going to be like, oh, that's dope, dude. I'm surprised no one's done that before. It's a zombie movie that takes place right outside of Las Vegas. The zombie outbreak has taken over the city of Las Vegas. And the movie chronicles one woman trying to outrun one zombie in the middle of the desert. There's no place to hide. All you can do is walk. And the zombie's walking behind you. And he's like 10, 15 feet behind you the entire time. It's dope. It's really, really good. I really enjoyed that. And it was one of those movies that when I was halfway through, I go, it needs to stick the landing. If this has a good ending, not necessarily good as in everyone survives. Horror movies, I always say it's 50-50, whether or not it's going to be a happy ending or a bad ending, but or a sad ending. I'm talking about like an actual like good ending that you really enjoy that kind of wraps everything together. I saw the trailer for it. I was like, I've never thought about that before. That is so terrifying. No matter how far you walk, it's just behind you. And you start running low on resources. You're getting hot. You run out of water. You're getting tired. The zombie is constantly right behind you. It's a great way to do a low-budget zombie movie. Some of the best zombie movies are pretty low-budget. Dead Rabbit Radio recommends It Stains the Sand Red. Very, very good movie. Jessica, go ahead and land this carpenter copter out in the middle of this little neighborhood. We're going back in time to around 2010, 2011, sometime around there. We're about to meet two young guys, two teenagers. They're both about 15, 16 years old, named Johnny and Scott. And those are names that we've given them. Those aren't their real names that we know of, but Johnny and Scott, they're hanging out, and they're huge fans of the paranormal, like so many of us. They love hearing spooky stories. They love talking about ghosts and aliens and haunted places, the mysteries of life. And they start getting into lucid dreaming as well, which is, it's fairly difficult. I've done it only a handful of times personally. It does seem like if you can master lucid dreaming, I believe the world is your oyster. You can really start to, through the subconscious, change the conscious world. If you can get into it, that is, it's quite difficult. And these two teenage kids, they're kind of messing around with lucid dreaming. They just love it all. They love the world of the weird, just like us. Well, one night, they're hanging out, and Scott goes, Johnny, I had the weirdest dream last night. It was the creepiest dream. It felt so real. I don't even know what to think about it. It's terrifying, honestly. And Johnny's like, well, what'd you dream about? What was you dreaming about, man? Scott goes, well, I dreamed I died. I have this dream that I died, and I swear it was the most realistic dream I ever had. I was skateboarding. Skateboarding down the road. I remember so much. I remember I was wearing all black. I remember the clothes I was wearing. I'm skateboarding down the road, and this car comes out of nowhere and just creams me. Kills me. Johnny's like, that's pretty scary, like, to dream about yourself dying. But you don't really skateboard that much. You're not a good skateboarder. And Scott's like, yeah, I'm not. I'm not actually a really good skateboarder. I can kind of skate. Johnny goes, well, then the dream's probably not going to come true because you don't skate that much. Well, yeah, but it doesn't shake the fact that it was a creepy dream. But that wasn't all. It wasn't just that I dreamt that I died. I actually attended my own funeral. I saw the world after my death. He goes, everyone was there. Everyone was there. My friends and my family came to my funeral. I saw them. I saw them all. Even, you know that girl I have a crush on? And Johnny laughs. He's like, yeah, yeah, you're totally out of your league. Well, anyways, I wouldn't say she's totally out of my league, Scott replies. But he goes, she was there. My crush was at my funeral. Which is ridiculous, right? That she would be there. But I saw her there. I saw everybody there. I saw my mom. I saw my mom. She was just crying, sobbing right next to my casket. She was inconsolable. I never seen her cry like that. She was crying like that now. She was crying like that over me. My mom's just there all alone, mourning my death. It was the creepiest dream I ever had. It's the most realistic dream I ever had. I don't even really know how to process it. And neither did Johnny. When Scott told Johnny this dream, he thought, man, that is terrifying. But it's just a dream. Scott's not good on a skateboard. You think that would make you think it was more likely he would die on a skateboard. But he goes, Scott's not good on a skateboard. He doesn't even skateboard that much. What are the chances of him dying on a skateboard? Why was he wearing all black? That's not really his style either. It's just a dream. Just a dream. A few years later, Johnny and Scott, they're 20 years old now. They're still friends, still living life in this town. Johnny has a dream. Johnny has a dream that Scott falls and hits his head on the ground. And then he begins to see blood coming out of Scott's head. At that point, Scott rolls over and looks up at Johnny. His blood continues to pool and spread across the ground. Johnny woke up. Disturbing dream, but a dream nonetheless. It's 2015. New Year's Day, 4 a.m. Scott is coming home from work. Scott's job has a uniform, black pants, black shirt. Scott, on this particular occasion, and he may have done it before, but on this particular occasion, we know for sure, he borrowed Johnny's skateboard to get to work and then to use it to come back home. Scott, wearing all black, riding a skateboard that he borrowed from his best friend, is coming home. New Year's Day, 2015, when all of a sudden a car comes out of nowhere and kills him. At this point, when Johnny hears the news about what had happened, he goes, I had completely forgotten about the dream. We always talked about so much weird stuff. He told that story 4 or 5 years ago. Told me that story when he was 15, 16 years old. And now I'm getting the news. I'm finding out that Scott died. Scott was riding a skateboard. My skateboard. He borrowed my skateboard. He was riding a skateboard home. He got hit by a car and killed. And when Johnny found out about that, he remembered the dream. So when Johnny is preparing to go to Scott's funeral, he's thinking, he was able to see how he was going to die. Could he see the future after that? Johnny walks into the funeral. Friends and family are there. Also there is the girl Scott had such a big crush on in high school. Johnny's watching the funeral of his best friend. And at one point, the minister is like, let's give the family a moment of privacy. Everyone can go wait in this room. And Johnny said, I was standing in this room and there was this window on the door that I could see into the place where my best friend's body was in the casket. And he goes, I saw his mom standing over her standing over his casket, just sobbing. And she was there alone. But Johnny said she was there alone for just a moment. Just a moment. Because suddenly, because he very quickly sees Johnny's dad and Johnny's sister coming over to the casket, rushing to console the mother. He goes, for just a moment, she was there by herself. And then the family was there beside her. And Johnny goes, I never had wanted to rush into a room more than that moment. He goes, it hurt me, the fact that I couldn't go in there and wrap my arms around that family. But this was a private moment for them. Johnny goes, you know, because he's typing this story up. The dream was back in, say, 2010-ish. So 2015, somewhere around there, 2014. And then we fast forward 5 years to when they're 20. And Scott dies. And then he's typing it up even years after that. He's typing it up in 2023. So it's been a total of 8 years since the dream and 3 years since the funeral. He goes, I'll be honest, there are other details that he told me that I don't remember. When he initially told me about the dream, he goes, I don't remember that. He goes, I'm sure there were other things that matched up to the real life event, but they're foggy at best. Johnny goes, since this happened, since Scott passed away, he goes, I've told people about what happened. He goes, I've told people personally in my life. He goes, they don't really believe me. He goes, they don't believe me. They think that maybe I'm being hysterical or making stuff up or misinterpreted it. But they don't believe me. Or at least I don't think anyone believes me. No one's dismissed me out of hand so much as they've just kind of brushed it off with a type of thing. He goes, however, back in 2022, I was talking to my neighbor. And they were just talking about stuff. And of course, they start talking about Scott as well. This scar hasn't completely healed. And the neighbor goes, hey, dude, you remember that time Scott, he was leaving your place. He was furious at me over something. I don't remember what it was. And Johnny says, yeah, I don't remember if he was mad at me leading up to that or what. But I do remember him like leaving here in a huff. And the neighbor goes, yeah, it was really weird. It was super weird because he got mad at me at that same time. Like, he's rushing out of your house. He's yelling something at me, and I'm saying whatever to him. And he turns and he says, yeah, you'll all be sorry and remember me after I get hit by a car on a skateboard. Takes off down the street. And the neighbor goes, what an odd thing to say. That's a direct quote. Yeah, you'll all be sorry and remember me after I get hit by a a car on a skateboard. The neighbor goes, what a weird thing to say. And then to make it even weirder, a couple of years later, he gets hit by a car on a skateboard. So because of that interaction, Johnny goes, Scott must have told at least someone else about the dream. Or made a vague allusion to it, right? He may not have told the neighbor directly that he had had a dream, but he made that comment to the neighbor that the neighbor thought was weird at the time because it's such a, it's so specific. It's one thing to say, you'll miss me when I'm gone versus you'll miss me when I'm gone because I fell into a wheat thresher feet first. You're like, what? Whether or not he told other people specifically about the dream, he was making vague comments. I guess that's not vague. That's about as specific as you can get, but comments about it. It's an interesting story. This was posted online by someone going by the name Johnny B. 1917. That's why we gave him the name Johnny. It's an interesting story, and there's a couple different ways you can look at it. One is... What's funny is that because one is almost like a cursed present, and the other one is too dark, too horrible to really even think about. But of course, we're going to think about it. The first one is that it's possible he did see a vision of the future. I don't know if this guy's Ukrainian or not, but it's possible that this guy did see a vision of the future. When he was 15 years old, he saw how he was going to die and how it was going to affect other people. And in that situation, he may have been able to prevent it. If you knew that that's how you were going to die, or if even if there was like a 50-50 shot, you figure this could be a clue, and then I would just never be on a skateboard again. If I had a realistic dream that I was going to die in a hot air balloon accident, that would be super easy to avoid. I wouldn't ride in hot air balloons. I wouldn't be around hot air balloon festivals, so one couldn't fall on me, or I couldn't get tricked into jumping into one or whatever. But if I had a super realistic dream that I was going to die being the passenger of a car, or more likely because I walk everywhere, if I had a dream, a super realistic dream that I was going to be hit by a car while I was walking down the road, there's not much I can do to prevent that. Because I walk everywhere. Or if I had a dream that I was choking on a fishbone, well, that's actually easy. I don't eat fish, but you know what I mean? I'm choking on a Twinkie or whatever. That would be hard to avoid, or just choking on food in general. That'd be hard to avoid because there's certain things you can't. And at that point, you go, well, this is almost a curse now. I know exactly how I'm going to die, and it's in a way I can't really avoid it. If it was something that was avoidable, you'd see that as a present. You would go, wow, dude, thank God that I had that dream because that's going to prevent me from ever. I'm assuming Scott at a certain point started to forget the dream as well, but maybe not. He obviously made that comment to the neighbor, but I would say if I thought it was even a possibility and I went to a job and they go, here's your work uniform and it's all black and I know that I use a skateboard, not all the time, but sometimes to get to and from work, I'd be like, nope, I'd rather not work. I'd rather just mooch off my parents. The other thing, which is actually a little more terrifying, is that what if that wasn't the case? There was nothing in the stars, so to speak, that he would die in this way, but he believed in it so much that he caused it. I remember when I was in high school, so we're talking like 93, 94. I was in high school, I was in the drama department, of course, right? And you're like, wow, I didn't never pegged you for a drama geek. I was in the drama unit, drama class, whatever it's called, you know, doing all that stuff, all that acting. And there was a guy there. I don't remember his name. I remember Tiffany was there. That was the friend of mine who was a girl. And then there was another girl there. And I remember my friend going, I'm going to die when I'm 58. I don't know why he brought it up or something like that. I don't know. And the girls are like, oh, don't say that. Don't say that. And I remember thinking, if you believe that, that is when you will die. Outside of any external factors, you will die that way. And I do believe that to a sense. I mean, obviously, if he goes, okay, see you later, I'm going to walk home from school, and gets ran over by a car, he's not going to be a pile of organs. He's like, oh, death does not come too soon. He's alive till he's 58, no matter what. You can die earlier, but I think if you truly believe that you were going to die at 58, you won't live longer. I think you can set a clock on your body. Which is a weird quirk. I mean, really, it comes down to a whole placebo effect. If you think the sugar pill is Vicodin, you're going to take it and be like, wow, man, all the pain's gone. You get addicted to sugar pills, you get diabetes, they're like, oh, we're going to have to cut your feet off. And then we're going to have to put you on real Vicodin. They're like, what? I thought I was taking real Vicodin the whole time. It's a placebo effect. If it can work to your benefit, if you can give someone sugar pills and they think that it's helpful medicine, then it could work the other way around. You could say, this is, if you take this pill, it's going to make you sick. It might not make you sick the first time. It may take a little bit of time to kick in, but you'll feel it. You can give them a sugar pill and they'll be all, ah, my insides are on fire. And you're like, it's just sugar pill. And then they actually do have diabetes. They're like, oh, that's too much sugar for my day. They, all of their limbs fall off. I think you can do that. Now, the guy that I knew, again, I don't remember his name, unfortunately, but he didn't say, I'm going to die at 58 from this cause or that cause. He just knew he was going to die in 58 at age 58, which, you know, what's funny in hindsight is it can be helpful, right? You think you're going to live forever one way or the other. If you were 17 years old and someone told you you're not going to live a day past 58, you're going to have 41 years to do whatever you want. It sounds like a huge amount of time. And it is. That's a long time. But imagine if you knew at an early age how old you would be before you died. You could die sooner, but you can't die any later. Do you think that would provoke you to make more fruitful choices? Yeah, I think if I knew I was going to die at 58, I could die earlier, but I won't live a day longer. I think I probably would have lived my life more productively. At least I hope I would have. But I think when you think that, if you truly believe you're going to die at a certain age, you will die at a certain age. That guy probably only has 10 years left of life. Hopefully he's forgotten about it. Hopefully he doesn't keep telling people, I'm going to die when I'm 58, I'm going to die when I'm 58. Because when he does die at 58, because he's basically made that happen, sure he'll be right, and people may go, wow, he predicted his own death, but wouldn't you have rather have been alive for another 20 years of experiences on Earth? I wonder if all of that to say along about way, if he manifested his own death. It was just a dream, but he believed in it so much, he made the dream come true. Which we always say people can do, right? Make your dreams come true. Work really hard for it. There's a chance that at the end of a long day's work, your dream is waiting there for you to just grab onto. We always say make your dreams come true in a positive sense. He may have made it come true in a negative sense. He may have believed that this dream was so real that it had to come true. And if that's the case, he created his own death scenario. It's terrifying, and I think it's even doubly terrifying for Johnny because he had to live through this whole thing. If I was Johnny, I honestly would be scared to sleep, to dream. This is all hypothetical to us, but Johnny knows for a fact his best friend dreamt how he was going to die and then died in that way. And I wonder if Johnny, to this day, when he falls asleep, he hopes he doesn't dream. Because if he does, he might end up seeing the unavoidable tragedy that's waiting for him. And if he does, is there any way to stop it? DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day. I'm so glad you listened to it today.